You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
We have talked about this from time to time over the past number of years, and that's pain, chronic pain, and the control of chronic pain, and the problems that exist with the medical profession using all the tools available to really, in a realistic and profound way, actually control pain that's experienced by many, many Canadians. Those are some of the things that will be talked about at a special summit that's going to be held April 24th, next week, in Ottawa at the Chateau Laurier, right next door to the Parliament buildings. And I guess there's a message there. Certainly people from the Canadian Pain Society and the Canadian Pain Coalition would like the government to be paying a little more attention to this issue. We have on the line Dr. John Clark. He's co-chair of the Pain Summit. Dr. Clark, thanks for being here on Zoomer Radio.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
What message really do you want to deliver to the federal government?
Basic message is that, you know, pain is really a chronic disease that needs to be listened to, that it has very significant impacts on many people's lives and on society in general, and costs a very significant amount of money.
And what do we need to do then? What does the government need to do, or the profession need to do? What are some of the things, what are some of the ways we could improve how we control pain for people in Canada?
I think a key way to do that would be to develop a national strategy, as has been done with, you know, other conditions such as palliative care, mental health. We need to kind of look at it very comprehensively, look at it from an awareness and education standpoint, access to care. We need more research. And we also have to look at outcomes. How well do we actually do in helping people manage their pain or treating pain?
Can we go into a little detail on that last point? How well do we do in helping, or you in the medical profession do, in helping to control pain for patients?
Bottom line, not terribly well. There have been a number of studies looking at what happens in hospitals after surgery, what happens in emergency departments. We know that medicines may be ordered for pain relief, but they're not given, or they're only given in limited amounts. We know that patients are sent home after surgery or after going to the emergency department because of, should we say, an injury, mm-hmm. and are sent home with significant pain. We know that if you look at, government funded, through the provincial health plans, programs that are there to help people manage pain better, that we have wait lists of 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, depending where you are in this country.
Pain is a lot more than just administering painkillers, isn't it?
Absolutely. We tend to see in the media these days some of those aspects. But, basically, if you look at comprehensive management of pain, it doesn't involve just medications or mm-hmm. just opioid medications. It involves, many other disciplines, physiotherapy, occupational therapy, group pain programs. And basically, bottom line, maybe a third, maybe a half of people will get benefit from medications, but many need other types of care that are going to be useful to them.
And the long-term effects of being in that kind of chronic pain, it's more than just the pain, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. People who have pain are more likely to be depressed. We know that people with pain are less likely to hold full-time jobs or are not able to work. So, there's a very significant cost to society.
How does the abuse of painkillers figure into the legitimate treatment of those in chronic pain?
That's a challenging question to answer. I see both sides of the coin as I see patients on a regular basis with chronic pain.
Yeah.
We know that certain types of medicines, one can get into trouble with them. One can become addicted.
Yeah.
And that's a very significant issue for everybody. At the same time, we also see other individuals who can actually do very, very well with some of these medications. And in essence, what's happening is that those that are doing well, it's sometimes more challenging to actually access some of these medications. And, you know, it's an educational issue from a health professional standpoint.
Maybe an educational issue for some doctors as well who have great reticence in prescribing some of these painkillers.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and unfortunately, there are a number of individuals that perhaps don't pay appropriate attention to what they're prescribing and how they're prescribing at the same time. There are others that are obviously very dedicated to how they do things as well. So there's a balance, and you know, you always have to be aware that things can be misused or abused, but at the same time, that shouldn't impact those that are using things appropriately. And unfortunately, I think at this time that is happening.
Well, that's your bottom line then, isn't it? There are a number of people out there suffering from pain, chronic pain that may last year after year after year, and they're not being properly treated for it.
That's right.
What can you do besides medication? Can you give us an idea of what some of the other things that can be done to help people overcome some of the pain?
Okay. Now, so apart from medications, and again, there are medications other than opioids or narcotics that are useful in chronic pain. So, you know, I think it's important to recognize that it's not just narcotics or opioids we're talking about. You know, obviously there are physiotherapies. So if you look at, you know, one of the consequences, we say, of chronic pain often is people become less active. They become, you know, less fit.
Yeah.
So attempting to increase activity levels, again, becoming fitter is important. So utilizing things like physiotherapists for some of those activities, giving people skills to manage pain. I know you may include occupational therapists. We run group programs where, again, the goal is to improve quality of life by giving people skills to manage pain, maybe to learn how to pace properly. So many of us know you feel good today.
Yeah.
You go and do everything you haven't been able to do for the last week, and what happens? You crash. Your pain flares. Whereas if you take a different approach to pain and how you do things, then often you can actually manage your pain better. You know, the modalities like acupuncture, there are a number of complementary modalities that are often utilized as well. So it's, you know, you've got to look at a very holistic approach to how you manage pain.
Including something like meditation.
Absolutely. For some people, that can be useful. We use Qigong. We use Tai Chi at times.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many different modalities that can be, you know, useful to each one of us who may have pain.
You touched on something I'd like to expand on. You, people who may have a good day and then it's followed by a bad day. It puts people in situations like that. It instills in them, I'm assuming, a great fear of pain. I'm okay tomorrow. I'm okay today, but tomorrow I'm going to be awful. I'm going to be in terrible pain. It makes you kind of,
you know,
makes you kind of
people.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
One of the biggest fears people often have is, well, if I do something that makes my pain worse, then I'm hurting myself more.
Yeah.
So again, educational programs will look at kind of giving people correct information, taking away some of those misconceptions or things that are not actually true.
Well, because you don't want to, yeah, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're kind of tiptoeing through life. You're being way too wary of the pain and not doing the things you might want to do that make your life a little more pleasant.
Absolutely.
Easier said than done, though, right?
And again, that's why you have some of the programs we run, because people almost, you have to take them through a process to become more normalized again, to do the things that you want to do and not to worry about, well, I'm hurting myself, I'm causing more problems, I'm causing more harm.
Yeah. The pain we're talking about here, doctor, is this pain that for which there is no solution? This is pain that's going to last for a long, long time, or maybe for the rest of their lives. Tell us a bit about that.
No, sure. I'm talking mostly about, should we say, chronic pain. So pain that's been around for a period of time.
Yeah.
Pardon me. You know, when you have acute pain, you hurt yourself, then you expect most of the time that will settle down over a period of time.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, there's a number of processes that go on within the body and the nervous system that'll kind of makes pain continue to be there, or you might have arthritis in your back that, again, there's no damage there that, again, you can't change, you can't take it away. So you end up having continuous pain, or at least pain that flares up and down.
But also you could have pain that may have resulted from a grievous injury. You need pain management, and at the end of the trail, which may be a year or two away, the pain is going to subside.
There are certainly times that that can happen as well, and there's other times, unfortunately, you've had surgery for something, and we know if somebody has an amputation of a limb, you had pain before surgery, there's about a 70% chance you will have pain continuing afterwards that will not necessarily go away.
It will be with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you say a pain strategy, doctor, what do you mean? What needs to happen?
Well, I think if you look at kind of, you know, what's happening in this country at present, so we have limitation of access to care, and that's pretty well across the board in every province.
Yeah.
If you look at education for health professionals, so doctors, nurses, physiotherapists, are they getting adequate education about pain management in their, you know, going through school, medical school? The answer is no.
They're not.
We know that veterinarians get taught more about pain than people doctors do. That doesn't make sense. No, good for animal care, but it's not good for
It's good for your horse. It's not good for you. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and when that doesn't happen, it's I guess then a doctor in that situation is just not going to think about that aspect of treating their patient. That, oh, yeah, they are going to be in pain, and I'm going to have to work out a plan so I can keep them out of pain. He or she is more concerned about treating the illness or the situation that caused the pain in the first place.
That's right. That's right. And that's, again, we see, you know, that pain's always been looked at as kind of a result of something else.
Yeah.
And so if you solve whatever the pain was caused by, pain will go away. If it was that simple, we wouldn't have a problem with chronic pain.
Well, pain, you're saying, is an ailment in its own right. It's something that needs to be treated as pain. Forget the cause or the triggers. The pain is there. It needs to be treated.
That's right.
It's 11:45. I'm talking to Dr. John Clark. He's co-chair of the Canadian Pain Summit coming up next week in Ottawa. If you have a comment or a question for Dr. Clark, give us a call at 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Talking about pain with Dr. John Clark, co-chair of a special Canadian Pain Summit coming up next week in Ottawa. Dr. Clark, are there different ways to classify pain? Is there a worst kind of pain?
Yes, there are definitely different ways of classifying pain, but you know, whether it's because of nerve damage, whether it's because of damage to bones, to muscles, I've seen people who will call their pain 10 out of 10, regardless of what the cause is. So, you know, there isn't one specific type of pain that's much worse than everything else.
And some people, is it true that some people do tolerate pain better than others?
Well, I think we all, you know, pain is an individual experience, which is, you know, kind of who we are, our culture, our social context. All of those things actually have an impact on pain. So, you know, one person may call their pain 5 out of 10, whereas somebody else will say it's 10 out of 10. But it's what you experience that counts.
That's what we used to ask our kids all the time. Well, what's the pain, honey? Is it an 8 out of 10? A 7, you know, just to try to get an idea as a concerned parent about how much they're hurting, how much we should be worried, and what, if anything, we can do to help them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And function is probably one of the key ingredients, you know. How does it impact your function?
Yeah.
If you can't walk a block, okay, that has a big impact on function.
Well, it means that pain is disabling you, is really what
Absolutely.
It means, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Here's Angie on the line from Orillia. Angie, do you have a question for Dr. Clark?
Good morning.
Hi.
It's a comment and a question.
All right.
I have deteriorated discs in my spine, which act up periodically.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they are right now. What is your opinion of acupuncture?
Oh, all right. That's a good question. Dr. Clark, what about that?
Okay. So, again, you have something that's quite common for many of us, and many people I see will tell me that acupuncture can be helpful. And, again, there is a scientific basis behind acupuncture as to why it can help some people.
When the pain gets too bad, I do go for acupuncture,
mm-hmm.
and it helps me. And I think a lot of it is your attitude towards whether it is helping me or not. I do not like taking pills,
mm-hmm.
because I can see what it will do. You can become addicted to pills, and that's why I go for acupuncture. And it lasts me maybe 4 months that I will not have pain.
Really? Four months?
Oh, yeah.
You're lucky to get such a good response. But,
wow.
You know, again, it's not unusual that
what
individuals
will prompted
value.
Me to go mm-hmm. was my sister-in-law, who even went as far as to have the operation on her back, which did not work. Therefore, she went to acupuncture, and she now golfs.
Good grief.
As you said, it works on some and it doesn't.
Well, if it works on you and it's working on your sister, did you say?
My sister-in-law.
Yeah, your sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Then you carry on,
really,
you know?
I really believe pain or anything to do with health is attitude. You've got to think positive.
Angie, thank you very much. That's certainly true, isn't it, Dr. Clark?
Oh, absolutely. I think your caller's comments in regards to attitude approach are important components of managing pain.
The problem is, though, if you take a painful situation to your family doctor or you visit a doctor in a clinic, you might not be getting a doctor who really understands and is good at handling the pain for you.
I think you've said it, the one of the challenges we have as a profession is to how do we enhance what family physicians and other physicians know so that they do provide as good a care as we can.
Well, if you were to go to young doctors in training somewhere in medical school and gave them a little more information, it wouldn't be a whole onerous new discipline. It would be reasonably, I'm asking you, would it be reasonably easy to arm them with the information they can later use in their practice?
One would hope so. realistically, though, there's in most curricula, there's competition between all the different things that students, quotes, need to know.
Yeah, right.
When you're dealing with kind of curricula that have been there for a period of time, it's always difficult to kind of get new things into a curricula. But it's not to say that some jurisdictions have been successful in doing that. It's just that it's still there's a lot we need to do still.
Here's Helen calling from Shelburne. Helen, do you have a question for Dr. Clark?
I don't have a question. I have a comment. I had a surgical error, so I've been in chronic pain for 22 years, and the medical field does not address chronic pain well enough. I've been ignored a number of times, and what I would really like to see is that chiropractors and naturopaths and medical doctors all get together to work with the chronic pain, and that's not what we're doing. Is that a possibility?
What about that, Dr. Clark?
And I would agree with you totally, and actually, if you look at the Canadian Pain Summit that we're holding next week in Ottawa, all those disciplines are actually there. So this is actually one of the first times in Canada that anybody is trying to bring, kind of multiple healthcare disciplines and other organizations together. Say, look, we have a problem. Let's try and find some solutions. Let's try and, advocate with government that we need to see some changes.
And at the same time, get some reasonable ideas and experience and insight from other disciplines also devoted to the relieving of pain, right?
Yes.
Here's Karen calling from Barrie. Karen, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you. How do you find a doctor that would prescribe heroin in your last months of a debilitating disease as opposed to the morphine? And heroin is more...
In a terminal situation?
Terminal.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So heroin is actually not available in Canada.
Yeah.
It is in some European countries, but it's not actually available here. In Canada, what would typically be used rather than heroin is methadone. And most kind of health authorities or regional health programs will have palliative care programs.
Yes.
And typically that's, you know, is the most useful approach is through those types of programs. There are some family physicians that can prescribe methadone, but you actually have to have special permission to do so. So it's not a drug that's kind of readily available, even as compared to other opioid medications like morphine or hydromorphone.
Is it you, the person who's in pain, Karen?
My sister
with
brain cancer, and
yeah.
Couldn't find anyone for her. She had a short 3 months.
Yeah.
Months of pain is, you know, a lot of minutes.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely, it is.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Karen.
Bye.
Should that discussion be had about, would heroin be a superior painkiller?
Again, I can't really answer that question in the context because it's not a drug that I've ever had access to, have used.
Yeah.
You know, there are meant to be some advantages, but at the same time, we actually have a lot of very potent pain medicines that are available in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is, are they being used properly?
In other words, prescribed properly or taken properly by the patient?
Both.
Both, I guess, eh?
Yes, both.
And what is the most powerful painkiller? Is there one that the medical profession can say is the most powerful painkiller?
Again, we look at it more on a, you know, say for a milligram, yes, but at the same time, when we use any of the different medicines, what you're doing is looking at, okay, what's the equivalent dose to morphine or hydromorphone or fentanyl? So we don't really worry about kind of what the number, or is this more potent than another for at least all the potent opioid medications.
But certainly somebody in a terminal situation should be given enough painkiller so that pain is not there as they gradually, you know, live out the last days of their lives.
And, you know, that's the ideal situation. Unfortunately, there are also times when actually even the most potent pain medicines either don't work or only work partially.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you also look at adding in other types of medications or other modalities that might be helpful.
Well, that leads to my next question. Can all pain, even that kind of severe pain, in the hands of the right doctor, can that pain be controlled?
Bottom line, all pain, no, it cannot be controlled.
Yeah.
What I tell my patients if I use a medication is that there's about a one-third chance it'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does, it'll help about one-third. Okay? Whereas most people expect, well, if I take a potent pain medicine, it should take all my pain away.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. There are multiple ways that pain kind of is conducted within the body, which means you almost have to look at several different ways often to try and help somebody do better from a pain standpoint. And that's why we look at both medicines and non-medicine ways.
And, of course, the longer it persists, the more it wears you down and becomes, that predominates in your life, doesn't it? That
yes,
the controlling of that pain
so.
That's there all the time.
Yes.
Dr. Clark, thanks for talking to us about this on the radio today. And the best of luck with your Canadian Pain Summit next week in Ottawa. Here's hoping the federal politicians will be paying attention.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Dr. John Clark, co-chair of the Canadian Pain Summit. Ideas that will be talked about next week in Ottawa, and we will follow up on that and see if there are any positive results that will come out of that summit. First ever summit.
Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.